teaching people, keep
Sorry,
in
guys.
front.
You're all
Sorry,
good.
what kind of teaching to keep in front of the body? And so that's what that's about. Provide spiritual and pastoral care. Let's see. Again, we have a pastoral care team, a committee of individuals that help us follow up on members that are infrequent in attendance or elderly and kind of shut in or maybe sick and out for a little while. And so it's really nice to not just have the lead minister doing that or the elders. We've got a group of folks and everybody pitches in, but kind of encouraging them and keeping that on your radar is what we're calling that pastoral care and guidance in that next section. Beyond call for pastoral emergencies, someone loses a loved one and things like that. I don't think anything of this is surprising you with things needed to deal with, but it's just good to touch base on them. And then, funerals and weddings come up and other special requests. And so an involvement in there will be good. And, I'm sure the longer you're here, the more requests like that you get. As you know, people, can you do the funeral for our family and things like that? And so your experience there is welcome with that. So providing leadership, you've looked through this. Does that read pretty good to you? We don't have many meetings where it's just the elders and the lead minister's not present. That might happen on occasion, but really, that's not our routine at all. As a member of the leadership team, your input is going to be valuable and desired as we make decisions. And we work hard to. We're not always unanimous, but we strive for consensus, and then we unify around that. That's really our what we're trying to do regularly. Champion the mission, help cast the vision, offer strategic planning. One of our challenges right now is are we too scattered in all the activities we have, or are they focused around a central mission? We need a willingness to let go of some things maybe we've always done if they really don't help us with some core things we're trying to accomplish so that we can focus on the core. Steve has that on his radar, and so a desire to not necessarily change everything, but just a good look and being deliberate with that is what we're after there with that language. Strategic planning. And then, if there are new ministry leaders and ministry teams for things we're trying to do, they're going to need encouragement and have them on your radar. So model discipleship relationships. And our typical elders meeting we typically meet with staff once a month. And then the elders meet another time. And the lead minister tends to be at both of those monthly meetings. But we're trying to get to where it's once a month, But that's not where we are with all the transition we got going on. So a couple of monthly meetings with the elders to stay on top of everything. We used to have Jeff chair those meetings, often set the agenda, and we're trying to stay migrated away from that, where the elders take the lead and we rotate the lead of those meetings and the agenda. And again, full partnership with input, but take that burden off of the lead minister and share that more among the elders is what that's about. And so not to be controlling, but to really share the load better is where we're coming from there. And again, that line, your input will be welcomed and desired during these times. We, that it'll be highly valued. So I make sure you hear that. All right, ministry and administrative staff responsibilities. Right now, Steve is supervising the administrative staff. Kaylin, we got a office manager is Elizabeth. You've met. and janitorial or a maintenance guy. So Steve does those, and we've got an elder assigned to Nathan and the children's minister, and you'll have an elder assigned to you as kind of a go-to and not necessarily mentor, but supervising day-to-day things, somebody to call, knows your routine and is close that way. And so whether this position grows into supervising the other ministry staff might very well work out really well, might not. And so that's kind of a play by ear, not dump that on you right away type thing, but we'll just see how that goes. I don't recall if there's many ministry staff that you currently supervise and do annual performance evaluations type of thing.
Okay.
No, I've just had a youth minister here that it was a relationship of me being the mentor, so that was it there. But he's actually moved on now, just recently.
Oh, wow. So, and so grow into coordinating and overseeing that ministry staff is something we see as a possibility and kind of let that happen. But ensuring the team cohesion and alignment, execution, keep an eye on how everybody's doing, on your radar. And, as someone who's there and sees, more closely than maybe the elders what's going on, that's really a valuable role. Personnel decisions are made by the elders, but input from you is a vital part of the leadership team. Those job reviews will be conducted typically by you with an elder present, like, the one that works with Nathan closely would be involved in his annual review. And we try to do those in January. This wouldn't be on your plate right away, for this last year. Steve Walker will be more involved than ever in those kind of things this year. But again, your input will be valuable for those. And then there is a weekly staff meeting structure, talking about everything that's going on and what needs attention and all of that. And so coordinating those, Steve's taking that role right now. And so it would be in partnership with him to, and again, you'll have your bearings. So I hope that paints kind of a clear picture of all those kind of things. I guess that section continues. The congregational communication, we just can't communicate too much, is what we learn. And then how do you best do that? And when do you best do that? Is just an ongoing something that's important. And, we do have an email that goes out once a week, and what's in there and what's not, and what's better handled on a Sunday announcement, and just, those kind of things. Using our website to draw in folks. And so you did ask about working from home, and that's kind of this next E bullet is office hours are expected to be not rare, but lots of flexibility there. It makes a lot of sense to be out meeting people. Maybe there's some day you want to work from home, or it's easier for you to prep a sermon from home or something. That's not, out of bounds, but maybe half time or more in the office type of rule of thumb. Nobody's going to be charting you with a clipboard, but we need you to be around in the office as a routine thing, is that expectation we wanted to clarify for you. And then,
What were you guys used to, or what did you require, or whatever with Jeff? Just so I know kind of what you've been used to, accustomed to.
yeah, I would say Steve, he was probably in the office maybe 4 days out of five, but some of them were partial
I think
days.
there are some critical days where you want to be in the office. Definitely, sometime on Monday, just to process what happened. Sunday, that's a everything's fresh on everyone's mind, and you get some information that's coming in. And then, I mean, we welcome to change this up, but Tuesday is a staff meeting, and you'll want to be there because that's a piece where everybody at the staff meeting, kind of weigh in on their areas of responsibility. It gives you opportunity to pour in and get a picture of what's happening. and also, you know, maybe help guide some of those things that are happening as well. You know, you can hear those. So that's important. And then that's also the time on Tuesday where the next gen team meets, and you'll want to be a part of that. That means the youth minister and children's minister, they meet on Tuesdays. And so you'll want to be a part of that. And then Wednesday is when Kaylin is finalizing the worship for the upcoming week. And you'll want to be here for that. And the bulletin goes out on Wednesday. So you know, just in case some things that you need to make sure is included. You don't necessarily need to be here for the bulletin, but I find it, you know, helpful with Kaylin to have the 101 with her, you know, so you guys are finalizing and fine tuning, because that's her last day of the week in the office. And so, you know, so that will be why that's critical. And then there's no office hours on Friday. You know, and then Thursday is kind of a flex day in terms of, you know, when you can be in the office, you know, or not. You know, there may be a day you want to prep, do some prepping for your ministry, you know, your sermon or whatever. But yeah, those, you know, you welcome to reconstruct that a little bit, but that's how things kind of work now. And those first 3 days of the week are really important to be here. Especially the first two, the Kaylin and, conference is important as well, but that can be handled maybe, you know, with a Zoom or whatever, but those first 3 days of the week are really the key in terms of office presence.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Sunday is obviously a work day, for this position. And Steve, I don't remember if it was Friday, probably that was Jeff's typical day away from the office. Or
yes, Fridays. You know, Fridays and Saturdays were his off days, I believe.
And then, but sometimes I know he came in to polish up the sermon on Saturday, and there was nobody else in the office typically. Yeah. And he could, that helped him. So anyway, lots of flexibility there, but just want to kind of paint a picture of expectations.
Yeah, my setup here has been, you know, on paper, my days off are Friday and Saturday. I'm the same way. There's no Saturday that goes by that I'm not working on, still working, polishing, going over, you know. I'd love to have a mind that just, you know, trapped it all by Thursday and it was good, but that's not me. But anyway, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And then this last line about Sunday absences, we just stuck in there because when we were hiring Nathan, he had a really good question. It's like, well, how much can I get away? You know, and not that he was asking for a ton, but just what is really expected. If I'm going to be there 50 Sundays a year, that's an awful lot, hard to get away, right, with the youth minister. So we just thought, well, 10% is a nice guide. It gets 5 Sundays away. It's 10% of the year. And again, nobody's charting this, but just didn't want to give any impression. Well, I only have to preach 40 times a year. I'm going to be gone a dozen times a year. That's kind of not workable, really. So just to clarify is where this is coming from.
And that's what Steve and I were kind of texting back and forth yesterday about that. That's
okay.
And I mentioned it, I think, in one of the meetings. I can't remember which, but it may have been our Saturday morning meeting, but. The biggest thing for me is to be able to have some time away. And that doesn't necessarily mean Sunday, understanding I'll have kids in school and a wife more than likely is going to be working, you know, full time, that, you know, it'll have to be some Sundays, but as long as I can get away to be able to go see family and things like that, you know, that's, part of the measure of success for me is that I can do that. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to be thinking about this 3 years down the road going, man, I don't see family at all, you know, and I feel like I need to move closer, that kind of thing. I don't want to do that. You know, that's why I wanted to kind of, you know, just kind of lay that out there. Like, as long as we feel like I can do that, it'd be great. The rest of that looks great as far as the, you know, vacation type thing. So,
okay, yeah. Good. All right, getting into the financial details. So this salary number of 80,000, and I appreciate you letting us know where you're at now. This is a little bit different structure with we've got what we feel like is a pretty robust benefits package, and it sounds like where you're at now, they pretty much put it all in salary. I don't know if you have some of these other things where you've got an education spending fund and a reimbursable when you meet with somebody and you buy coffee and just things like that. I don't know if that's okay.
No, that's all things I take care of,
Okay.
and I don't even think because of the tax things on it, I don't even think we really list a lot of those things because we don't, what is it, 20 something thousand you have to come up with to make it make sense.
Yeah,
But
itemized.
yeah, itemizing it and everything. Sorry, Katie's the accountant, but and then we have our insurance through her, and so I don't necessarily come up with that myself, but we do as a family, so.
Yeah. So anyway, that salary number, we hope is workable in the context of the benefits package. And so when want to make sure we can answer all your questions and paint a picture for you. That medical dental vision is an allowance. Somebody like our youth minister, he's a single guy. He doesn't use $1,200 a month. So all of his health insurance is covered by the church, the premium. He's got his deductibles and stuff like every health insurance plan. And so that's the case for most of the individuals we have now. But it's a $1,200 a month. If you were covering your family, for example, maybe it's a little more than $1,200. And so we'll pay up to $1,200, and then your payroll withholding pre-tax would cover the rest. Now, right now, that is in flux. Our family, let's just assume family coverage is what you would need because your wife is going to change jobs. And so you move here and you are in our package. Right now, that family coverage is just under 1600 a month. And so you'd be covering 400, we'd be covering the 1200. As for example, now that renews in March. And we've gotten a very large increase that's been communicated to us. And so we're going out to the market to see if we can do a little bit better with that and get closer to what I've just described and not as big of an increase. And so we're hopeful in that. I think the family coverage was like 2100 or something like that for the renewal. And so your 1200 covered by us, that 900 would fall to you to cover if we didn't change anything. And so that's a big variable. I understand that and just want to be transparent where we are. But right now, if we can take it out to market, find another provider that, we're hoping to stay somewhere in that family range, where we have been this past year. So weigh that accordingly, but that adds up to a lot. That 1200 a month is another 14,400 for 12 months of the year. And then our retirement match is 50% of what you put in, and our max is 3%. So basically, if you put in 6 for retirement, we'll put in 3, and you've got a 9% retirement savings there, and what that adds up to on this salary. We cover the long-term disability insurance that, if you were disabled and couldn't do this job, it would replace something like two-thirds or 60% of your salary type thing. And then this ministry resources, if you wanted to buy books or videos or take an online course or something, that's 100 a month average. That's 1200 during the course of the year for what you felt like you needed. Education and training, I guess that's really where the online course might fit, is this $1,500. If you could travel to a seminar somewhere, and get some training that way, here's a budget resource to help you do that. And then shepherding funds is, again, you're going to be meeting with people at, the coffee shop, or get some dessert or a meal here and there. And so we want to lighten that burden on you, and you can get reimbursed. Again, 100 a month average. is probably not enough for all that tends to happen, but it's sure helpful. And so then when we add up all these pieces, it's that 101-200 number. So that's what we're used, that's the structure we're used to. That's what's in place. And so, you know, given it's a different animal than what you're used to now. So just wanted to see how that struck you or what more we can clarify with how this would work and maybe things that aren't being mentioned here that you're financially sensitive to.
I don't know if I've got, I think you cleared most of those things up. What's your, do you have a policy as far as going to different seminars, conferences, things like that? Is, you know, do you limit your senior minister on, you know, you've gone to two already? I don't know.
Well, it's pretty much this budget where, okay, there's $1,500. How far can you stretch that? If there's some things in St. Louis that you could take advantage of, that's not much travel cost or hotels or, you know, online training, it's, you know, whatever's helpful to you. And
well, I mean, it's as far as in terms of like days or anything like that, taking off to go to a conference.
No, you'd be considered part of your work day, okay. You know, your work schedule. And so if you can work it in, that'd be understandable.
Okay.
Yep. I don't think, Steve, I don't know that we've had, you know.
Well, it's, I just ask for clarity. I always want to go to a lot more than I do, because of family and everything else. Yeah. The same way with vacation too, right? It's I still have a wife that works and kids in school most of the time. And so it's wanting to get out and getting out are two different things a lot of times, but, that's good because I know we're, you know, there I would be more, reachable, I guess, to get to, Nashville at Lipscomb where I went.
Mm-hmm.
Harding as well. And so, you know, they both have different conferences and things that
mm-hmm.
are good.
Yeah, those are drivable, John. You can get mm-hmm. to Nashville in 5.5 hours, maybe six, you know, mm-hmm. so those will be drivable. So that might be able to stretch your budget quite a bit if you were open to driving to a location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful.
This next mention, you probably take advantage of the housing allowance for, you know, taxes. That's a really nice break. And so we just want to acknowledge that kind of that helps a lot of things. And so you know how that works to reduce your tax load. You'll be considered a minister under the IRS code. And so our typical ministry staff is there. If they want to participate in Social Security, instead of waiving that, they pay both the employer and the employee part of mm-hmm. that. And so does that sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Just want to, no surprises there. And then relocation expenses, you know, I'm not quite sure how far $5,000 will get you. There's a lot of different ways to handle moving.
I'm not sure either. We
reimburse actual costs and, you know, hire who you want or as many college buddies as you can find or whatever is okay with us. But whatever those actual costs are, we're up to that limit. We're happy to help you get here. So.
Yeah, that's very much appreciated too. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's tax free. That's not a taxable benefit if we reimburse actual costs up to a limit like that. All right. Anything else about that section before we move on?
No, I don't guess so.
Okay, good. Start date again. There's flexibility here. I just went out a month and thought maybe mid-January. That's what we put on here. And then I wanted to touch on the rental opportunity that you wouldn't have to search far and wide for something that would be a you know, meet your needs for a while anyway. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Annual vacation. I wanted to spell out, or we wanted to spell out our policy. This is what all of our staff fall into. Is a couple of weeks for the first 5 years and then go to three and then go to four. And at 7.5, that puts you at that 3 week range. But then within a couple of years, you'd go up to 4 weeks. And so that's our typical, what our team is doing. You said you were sensitive to vacation, and so we want to make sure things are workable. That sabbatical type thing, couple of weeks every other year, that's something we weren't familiar with. I don't know how common that is, but that sounded like a
I
really
don't know that.
generous arrangement.
Yeah, I don't know that arrangement is necessarily that common. I had suggested the more common approach of, I don't know, I think it was every 6 years, 6 weeks or something like that. And the church came back with, well, what if we do it this way? That way we don't have to worry about 6 weeks in that 6th year. You know, we can do 2 weeks every other year. And but that's like I said, that's first time I'd ever considered that, which was fine with me, obviously. But
Well, that's brought that to you quicker while you've been there. You've taken advantage of that a couple of weeks here and there, whereas instead of waiting, well, we're more the traditional, hey, let's talk about it in 5 years and see how urgent that feels and what's working and what's not. It's I think our language here is consideration of the appropriate need at the bottom bullet there. Okay, let's figure out what's needed here after 5 years. Let's evaluate that. And it might be, oh, and typically 4 to 6 weeks, that's a range that we've accommodated. We've had a couple of sabbaticals from staff over the last several years. And so we kind of get that and that long break. And it's not really more vacation. It's really structured where, hey, what books do I need to read? What mentors do I need to go visit? What refreshing am I needing is the way we tried to do that, and sensitive to, the ministry drain and routine. It's not a typical 9 to 5, and so that refresher is important. So that consideration we want to make sure is on here, but kind of back to that model there. And
Which
so,
that's not an issue, that part of it's not at all.
okay, good.
I guess the only other question I would have, Steve, I kept going back and forth on. I was sitting in my truck when I was texting you about how many years I had, and I got home and I was telling Katie that, and I thought, wait, I told him a year less, or at least I'll let you decide. So when I was at Harding, I preached for a church for a full year. I was their minister. I drove over 2 hours to be there every Sunday morning, one way.
We look at that as being
It's
part of your experience, John.
And so that would be 8.5 years. Why I told you 7.5, I worked my rear end off for that year. That's
Yeah,
what
no,
that's what I was
that
thinking.
no, we definitely would honor that as part of your ministry experience as,
Well, I appreciate that. When I was telling her that, I just kept feeling like that number wasn't right, and it wasn't. That's why. So at least the way I felt. So I appreciate that.
And John, we've got a little flexibility here with this. This is our typical pattern. It's what all the rest of our staff fits into. If this is a critical issue, you talked about the ability to meet family and everything. And so we want to make sure we set things up in a way that work for you. And so, 8.5 is fine. That gets you to 4 very quickly. If you feel like we need to start at 4, that's an exception I think we could probably work with to make sure things are workable for you. We're not that far off,
All right, appreciate that.
And all right, sick leave. The state of Missouri, we used to give our team just 3 sick leave days a year. You need a day here or there, you got doctor appointments, that's fine. State of Missouri just passed a law this past November that increased mandatory sick leave. And so a full-time individual has to be given at least 8.5 sick days a year, or the formula gets you to 68 hours. And so that's 8.5 sick days for a full-time 8-hour day. So we are going to be implementing that here in the new year. It's not quite in place yet. It has to be there by May. We'll probably do something earlier, but we got to work with Elizabeth and the payroll system. But there'll be an accumulator, and you'll accumulate at least that if we don't play with it a little more, but it'll be at least 8.5 days a year. And again, you know, you're ill, that's understandable. And, you know, at the church, it's family, there's lots of flexibility. But in terms of the formality of, okay, this is a sick day, I got to put that on the schedule, or I need this procedure, how much time do I have paid because I'm going to need a week of recovery or something, you know, then what does that look like? And so, and it won't be a use it or lose it. I'm sure it'll accumulate beyond that number. If you don't use it in a year, it'll build up. You'll have that much more the next year. And so we're figuring all that out. So just so you know how that works, but we want you to be taken care of. So ongoing mentoring and a reevaluate after 6 months, we felt like it would make sense for there to be a small group that you help create once you get to know some folks that would give you some encouragement and feedback, and kind of, you know, not just the staff that you would hear from on a regular basis, but a group of folks that, you know, would let you know how they feel things are going. You could pick their brain, you could run ideas by them, you know, to help you feel like you've got your pulse on things. And then choosing a mentor that you help select for encouragement and feedback. That might be a college professor you already have a relationship with. It might be somebody local, a preacher peer or something. There's a lot of flexibility there, but the value of a mentor that you would get together with regularly. And then Jeff Kreider, I'm sure you met him during your interview weekend, and the newly retired lead minister. We want, and he's agreed to be available to you, not really as your mentor. We don't want you to feel like you have to do things his way, but we want him to have your ear, and you to have his ear as well. And so you got, he's agreed to be available as a resource. Hey, why do we do this? What's the historical perspective? And, you know, our church body, you know, somebody is so-and-so really this angry at me in this email, or this glowing is, you know, just he's been there and done that for a long time. And so the value of that relationship, we want to encourage, but we don't want you to, and it's no insult to Jeff, but we didn't want you to feel like you have to report to him or answer to him or do things his way. But just his input, even still for the elders, is highly regarded. And so, you know, they've stepped away a little bit, but they're ongoing active members, and we'll be plugging in, you know, and back to the routine and be involved in different ministries. And we're really happy to have them. So wanted to paint that picture for you a little bit. Yeah. So, and then we'll start with twice a year review from the elders to let you know a little more formally, hey, you know, how we doing? Make sure there's no surprises. We hope we communicate ongoing regularly, and there's no gotcha at any 6 month thing, but just that formality is healthy. And so let's make sure that happens. And so that's what that's about. So, well, I've been talking a lot and trying to fill in the gaps and elaborate here. And so what do we need to talk more about? And, you know, different things.
I really don't know. You've answered most of the things. From my standpoint, it's more about, all right, now that I have the information, sitting down with my wife and kind of going over it again and kind of just evaluating, you know, our situation and needs, and the research that, you know, the further research that I need to do for up there and things like that, and, you know, the possibility of the move and everything. So that's really where I'd be right now. It's just, I can't think of anything further to ask you, you know, that I haven't already asked you in this conversation. So,
all right.
So John, how much time, we have a thought, but I wanted to see where you are in terms of, are you going to need to make a decision? Have you thought about, you know, the time frame? And I'm sure you want to do some praying and do your research and consulting. So what are you thinking about in terms of your decision-making process, the timeline on that?
Certainly a few days. I haven't sat there and thought about that, formally or anything,
So
but
would Saturday be too soon?
I don't think so, not necessarily. My thought is we'll probably be in communication anyway, as we have questions or, things we think about or things like that. So, something like Saturday, I think makes sense to me.
Yeah, David or myself will be available to answer any questions you might have between now and then, and we'll make ourselves available to answer those questions. You have both of our contact information, right, John? Or
Yeah, got your emails at least, yes.
Very good. Well, we're hoping this is something workable, and if something needs to be tweaked, communicate. Let us know what you need so that we're off on the right foot, and you're optimistic about everything, and we'll whatever that is, we'll take that back to the elders and weigh things. And so that sounds really good, and we'll keep praying about it. Congratulations on receiving the offer. I want to, I feel really good about that, and hope that hope things can come together, and we'll keep praying about it too.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Steve, you probably communicated, but Dave, I'll just say it just for the sake of having said it. But my biggest first priority when Steve talked to me was just to make sure that there were no since you guys called Jason first, what I want to make sure that what I wasn't coming into was some kind of division that, because Jason's, however that happened, it's not leaving, remnants of, an unsettled people, I guess, that I would be coming into. And I don't, and I think you kind of laid it out there, but and also that, I'd
No, I think you
have
want
the
to hear
support
Dave's
of.
perspective on it as well, because Dave has may have a similar or different perspective, so he can kind of give you his perspective on it as well.
Yeah, we feel good. We had two candidates, both very strong and different from each other, and so and the feedback from the congregation was also quite equal. We had some folks that preferred Jason, and we had plenty of folks that preferred John, and plenty of folks that said, "Boy, they're both really good. Don't envy your decision." And
Yeah,
so
helpful.
don't and so and so when we did choose a preference for Jason for various reasons, and put things forward, and it just wasn't right for his family. This timing, and that was, that actually happened to us a year ago or 6 months ago when we were talking to another candidate earlier on. We felt like we'd found somebody. Don't know if we talked about him very much, but he's a local guy, and had a good process, solid person, and we made an offer, and there was so much going on in their family and different goals and things, they said no thank you. But thanks. I mean, we kind of feel like God was using us to move them along their career path, even though it's not here. We've been praying for that, them and Jason and you, that where your families land, you will thrive. And it doesn't have to be here. We're praying for you, but feels like it sure could be here. Let's make a go of that. And so it is a positive situation. We do believe in transparency and sharing. Probably a lot of what I just said will, if you come on board here, we'll probably share that with the congregation. So people that know that those that, liked Jason, we understood their feelings, but it was God that closed that door. And then the folks that felt, hey, John's the one, and those that felt both are equally good, and hey, we get John. It's not a second tier arrangement. And so it's odd the way it's playing out, but want to be transparent with you as well, where we are. And I think that's a healthy way to do things. I think if the it feels like the Just to be all totally open with you, it feels like the best of both worlds in a way. If we we tell the congregation that, hey, we made an offer to Jason and he said, no, thank you. God closed that door. The people that did have the preference for him would feel like, okay, the door's closed, we're moving on. And the folks that expressed a preference for John, and, you know, these aren't super strong preferences, but, you know, they okay, he's a better fit for whatever. And so then they would feel like, oh, well, I'm getting what I desire. That's great. And so everybody would be on board with this path, as opposed to, hey, we chose John and half the congregation is disappointed. Well, no, let's let them know that door closed, you know? And so I kind of feel like this could be really positive, even though on the surface it's, you know, your caution is very, you know, understandable. And I want to paint that picture. So I hope that's helpful to kind of
see very, where very helpful. You're coming Thank you very from. Much.
And we'll, if you accept our offer, we'll present you in the totally highest light, because we want you, we're asking for you, we're praying for you. So, so happy to elaborate for you on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I do have one caveat. It's not related to that. So John, now, when you did your Bible study time, you opened up the door for something when you start singing. I just want to let you know. So I think people really enjoy that. So I just want to let you know that's some expectation now for hearing your singing voice.
So. Oh, well, I love to sing and I start every Bible class that way. And so that was my norm. That was
okay.
That's what my church gets all the time. So kind of you to say, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So John, would you close us out with a prayer? Unless Dave, we have anything else. I don't want
to. No, I appreciate getting to elaborate on all these things and glad it's been helpful.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, very much so. Thanks for taking the time. Yeah. I'll pray us out.
Okay.
Our Father God, we, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for being our God. Thanking you for bringing us to this place and where we all are. Lord, for the ways that you've blessed each of our lives and God, even when certainly we take different things for granted. God, I just want to thank you for this conversation. And Lord, again, we pray for everybody that we've mentioned today, Lord, for everyone who sought this position, and Lord, for us now, Lord, that you guide every single one of us, and that we flourish wherever we may be, and God, that Lord, your church moves forward, no matter what, God, and we, Lord, we want to thank you for your Spirit guiding these things, Lord. I thank you for an eldership that seeks to, Lord, be led by your Spirit, and Lord, that we all should do the same, and God, just surround us with your Spirit as we go through the next few days, and Lord, give us the words that need to be said, the questions that need to be asked, and Lord, that whatever happens next, we go through with clarity and understanding, and a peace that only comes from you. God, go with us as we leave this meeting now. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 All Thank right. you, John.
Thank y'all. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we get. If, you know, calls this week or sends emails, we'll just evaluate as we go. And glad he felt like Saturday was reasonable. I think that's positive.
Yeah.
And yeah. So... All right.
Well, thank you, Dave. Did a masterful job. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. I was a little squeamish about elaborating on the Jason thing, and I thought, you know, if we're going to say that to the congregation, he needs to know that's coming, and just paint that same picture and see how it strikes him. So
yeah.
I'm glad that I think it can be good. So
no. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay.